Blog Talk Radio.
Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy, and Sherry Edwards is still under reconstruction. She had a great fall, like Humpty Dumpty kind of, and is getting better, but it's a slow process. As we know, healing sometimes takes time, but she is getting better. And one of the things I want to mention is that Jeff Hayes had asked Sherry to do this, to join him in doing the promotion on his documentary Bought, which we interviewed him earlier this year on, or late last year. We've interviewed Jeff Hayes a number of times. He's a great documentarian, a really good filmmaker, and he made this great, really excellent documentary Bought that discloses a lot of truths about GMOs, big pharma, and vaccines. I really can't recommend it highly enough. I watched a number of times. And there's a tab at the top of the Sound Health Options page, homepage. If you go to that upper left-hand corner, there's a link there for a free viewing of that documentary Bought. And really, it goes to pattern, as they say in legal world, for this show today with the Caltons talking about micronutrients and whole foods and all that arena of, you know, but more expanded on Jeff's part, really doing some great interviews with people and really just showing, you know, it's along the lines of, I think Jeff Hayes is partially responsible for me coming up with Follow the Money. It's really so true. So there's that I really recommend that highly enough. Excuse me. And then I have another announcement. This is an announcement. Talking about something else that we can, I'll read this quote and then I'll tell you the article title. And I would preface this is by saying something else that we can thank Donald Rumsfeld for. This is a quote out of the article, one of the bullet points talking about Donald Rumsfeld, who was at the time CEO of Searle, a manufacturing company of drugs, states in a sales meeting that he's going to make a big push to get aspartame approved within the year. Rumsfeld says he will use political pull in Washington rather than scientific means to make sure it gets approved. So that's in an article called The Shocking Story of How Aspartame Became Legal and the fact that it had been, I believe, declined by the FDA several times. And I will put that in the show notes, and I'll put that also in chat. So there's that. Really? It's amazing. So I think that's all. I will intro in the Carltons, and I'll be fielding questions in chat. I might remind everybody that this show with the Carltons, Jason and Mira Carlton talking about micronutrient miracles, was from several weeks ago, but I wanted to redo it because their promo ends tomorrow, and it's really a great promo. If you buy the book, which I think is only $15.95, you get $200 worth of certificates from food suppliers who produce things like wild-crafted seafood or other food products, you know, farm-to-table products that you can get as part of the promotion. They went out to a bunch of the people that they know in the food world, and they decided to jump on the bandwagon and promote not only the Carlton books, but also promote themselves in the world of, you know, there are these amazing food products that we can get, and then they include $200 worth of gift certificates with the purchase of their book. So I think that's amazing. And here we go. Dr. Jason and Mira Carlton are among the world's leading experts on micronutrient deficiency, weight management, and lifestyle medicine. Mira Carlton is a certified nutritionist, and Dr. Jason Carlton holds a master's and a PhD in nutrition. They are New York Times best-selling authors of Naked Calories, Rich Food, Poor Food, and the brand new the micronutrient miracle, the 28-day plan to lose weight, increase your energy, and reverse disease. They've worked personally with thousands of international clientele, including celebrities, athletes, and corporate executives. Mir and Jason have truly dedicated their lives to learning about nutrient deficiency and educating people about nutrition. It is their belief that becoming micronutrient sufficient is the first step towards preventing and reversing many of today's most prevalent health conditions and diseases. Welcome, Mira and Jason.
Oh, thank you so much for having us back.
It's a pleasure to be here, Richard.
I had so many questions. Congratulations on being number, what we were talking backstage. What are you in Amazon already?
Well, we're number one in other diets. We're number one in paleo. We're number one in low carb. We're number one in gluten-free. What else? And we hit 19 in all books in Amazon, including, and we're up against, the standbys. We're up against all the categories. So number 19 is pretty good in all books, and we're excited to take it further.
And the book really isn't out yet.
It's not. The incredible thing, August 11th, the book comes out. But the pre-orders have been so amazing that that we're really excited to see the excitement around the release of our new book.
Right, I bet you are. It's already number 18, and it hasn't been released yet. It's, amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to start by – go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just going to say, we actually got a call from our publisher at 4 days into our launch. They already went to reprint. So I guess it is, and people are really loving it, and they're buying it.
Reprint. What an amazing – wow. I remember you. I can say I remember you when we talked about your very first book. I think Naked Calories.
Absolutely.
And where you are today. Wow. So I want to ask, I want to sort of set a foundation. I'll ask this question, then I have a follow-up question about this. Can you tell us what you consider to be, when you say micronutrients, what do you consider as micronutrients? What are you saying when you use that term?
Yeah, this is a great place to start because, this is what our conversation is going to be about today. And so food has two basic components to it. It has the macronutrients, which are things like carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Most people know about those. But then it's got another side, and those are called the micronutrients. And so we categorize those as vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids like omega-3, like your doctor might tell you to take, and amino acids. So it's really kind of the stuff, what we consider to be the good stuff in food. The macronutrients are caloric-based, and the micronutrients, they kind of do all the work in the body.
And that leads me to the question of how do you think, and I know you talk quite a bit about this in chapter one, how did we get here? How did we become so micronutrient deficient?
Yeah, it's a very sad fact.
How did we get there?
Yeah, well, it starts in the soil. Everything starts with our soil, right? So the soil, we are overplanting, we're overfarming, we're demanding too much of it to feed ourselves. And so we're just not following the old ancient rules about changing, not having monocultures and really learning about that. So our food is picked early, so it's less nutrient dense than it should be because they know that they have to ship it across country to get to you, and they want it to ripen while it travels. So rather than letting the food absorb the nutrients from the soil, the few that are left, they actually rob it of that as well and pick it early. And then it travels across country, and light, heat, and air are all naturally micronutrient-depleting things. So as it travels for miles and miles, with every minute and every mile that it travels, it continues to lose micronutrients. And then it gets to the grocery store, and it's sitting under bright lights, continually losing micronutrients. And then you cook it. And, of course, it's going to also deplete certain micronutrients to cook it, and then it's going to get recooked because we live in a world where we're all reheating our food, and that's normal for us, but that also depletes micronutrients. So it's just on this constant path of not getting enough of the micronutrients, and therefore our food is just depleted, and that's why we wrote naked calories first. That's what we mean by naked. We mean that it's rich in those calories still. You're always going to have the caloric value, but it's depleted or stripped and therefore naked of its micronutrient value.
Well, I also think that it's part of the – I agree with every – absolutely. And I think also during the – I never know what year this was, but during what I would call the Kellogg's Revolution, where – I'm – I'm almost old enough, not quite, I'm just a little too young to say that I don't remember box cereal. I totally remember box cereal. And what an amazing revolution it was, actually for my parents, what an amazing revolution it was to give me like shredded wheat in a bowl with milk. And
right.
Even as a kid, I sort of had a weird relationship with cereal. I always kind of thought, I don't get it, you know, like soggy stuff in a bowl. What is this? It's not hot. It's not. It doesn't feel yummy. It's not fun to eat before you go to school. It never sat well with me, actually, digestively. But there was that whole revolution of, the miracle of boxed food.
Right.
And
so
you like, open a box and go, there it is. And, you know, and so you have these empty carbohydrates.
Yeah,
well,
we've
that's
got
just
the
a personal sandbox. Go ahead.
I was just saying we have the box foods, then you've got box bags and bottles. You know, those are really the things that came out. So you've got the sodas in the bottle that people can carry around with them. You've got the box cereals and the box things like, you know, the hamburger helpers and the shake and bakes and all the different things that came out at this time. And all this processing that takes place to the food. And, you know, obviously if you're going to take something and dehydrate it, or it's going to be able to have a, you know, who knows how many year shelf life, you know, in a box or a bag. You've stripped it of its micronutrients, and again, like Mira said, nothing you do to food ever strips it of its calories. So that's the real bad thing, is we were taking in all these calories, and all of these processed and these modern foods have very little micronutrient value. So it actually created a different kind of hunger. You know, we have the typical hunger that most of us know, the stomach grumbling when you haven't eaten for a while. That's regular hunger. But there's another type of hunger now, a modern hunger called hidden hunger. And this is the hunger that is physiologically kind of started when the body doesn't have enough of those essential micronutrients. So we have plenty of calories, and we know that we've eaten enough, you know, in our minds, but our bodies are telling us to go eat more because it wants us to go get those micronutrients from the food like where they're supposed to be. But in today's world, they're just not there anymore.
Well, I can see, and you know, just not only talking to people, but having had, you know, an herb store in the 70s, let's say the 80s, because that makes it sound much too long ago, watching people in general, that you can see that sort of what I would call crazed look in their eye when they're eating something, especially small kids or grandkids. When you see them, you know, discover a cereal, even if it's from the, you know, insert sound effect of your choice of Whole Foods, not that they're the enemy, but they have that whole, you know, center of the aisle, which goes back to your, was that Rich Food for Food that talked about GPS?
Yep.
I think so.
Yep.
That really there's still this false, you know, like anti-carb or anti-whatever it is, but we still have empty food in boxes of one kind or another. And it's really, you see that kind of glassied, craven look in a child's eyes. Or even in adults, where they get that glassy stairway, they're not really in the food enjoying it because it's just like they're eating and eating and eating. It's like opening a bag of chips. Once you start, it's like you can't stop, and that's because of sugar, salt, fat, you know, that whole nasty world. But I mean,
absolutely, they're formulated.
Thing.
These new foods are formulated to give that effect. They're throwing in all these chemicals, the MSG, the flavor enhancers, all of these things are making people have that response. And like you said, they just look like they can't control it.
Well, and the sugar, you know, the magic of the sugar, salt, fat, which is a book whose author I can't remember at this moment. But, I mean, really where it is exactly as you'd say, it's this creepy chemical mix where it's really no longer, the goal is no longer nutrition. The goal seems to be, and again, in my opinion, the goal seems to be just, you know, eat more of this.
Absolutely, and that's what so many
manufacturers
want.
Of your choice. Yeah.
They want you to buy more of their products. And the thing about these that most people don't look at, that we actually talk about in the Micronutrient Miracle, is that we look at those food chemicals that they're using, and we say, how is that affecting your micronutrient levels? So not only are these things addictive, but they're also the way your body gets to flush them out or detoxify from them is actually by using up your micronutrients. So not only are they micronutrient void foods, but then they're filled with these chemicals which actually utilize your micronutrients even faster and leave you even more depleted.
what a fierce, you made me go silent for a moment there. I'm just thinking, what a fierce cycle. I mean, that they're stripping out our micronutrients by eating these empty things, so we get this faraway look in our eyes as our hormone receptor sites are going, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just eating endlessly. Somewhere there's a little tiny voice, a little tiny hormone in your head going, no, stop, there's nothing there.
Stop the madness.
Amazing. Stop the madness, absolutely. And that point that you make that, and it's funny, I hadn't really thought about it that way, that the calories never go away. Under everything we do, you know, we eat these, either a concentrated food or a non-concentrated food. It's completely void of actual sustenance, but you keep, you know, having calories.
Well, I was just going to say that they actually have a name for it. It's, these companies have a name for this. It's actually called the bliss point. And so they, like Mira said, they've got these big laboratories, and they've hired these food scientists, and they formulate the food from the ground up. It doesn't start with real food, mind you. It starts with, you know, again, this dehydrated, processed powders or flakes, and then they add the MSG to it, they add the sugar to it, they add the salt to it, they add the flavorings to it, and then they put people in a room, and they ask them to taste the foods until what they have what's called the right mouthfeel, or the crunch. So they want you to be able to crunch down on it, and there's a certain crunch or a certain mouthfeel that, again, stimulates something in our minds and in our brains to eat more of it. And that's what they want. They want, and the ultimate is, they call it a bliss point. So if you open a bag of something or a box of something and you literally kind of find yourself at the bottom of it in an hour and didn't even realize you ate it, then you have done successfully exactly what that food manufacturer wants you to do. Are they actually trying to strip you of your micronutrients? Probably not. They probably aren't even that far ahead. They're just trying to get you to buy their product to the point where you can't stop buying it. But that what they actually are doing is setting you up for health conditions and disease in the future, because you're taking in all these calories, but they are not coming with the essential micronutrients that we need to maintain even minimal health. So we're all kind of walking around like, I wonder why we have all these health problems. And it really comes down to, you know, obviously these processed foods, which is where the first fingers are pointed automatically, but it's even foods that we consider to be real foods too.
Well, and it's so, this is a whole separate show. It makes me get on my soapbox and just think, as you just said, it's that creepy phrase, you know, mouthfeel. I remember the first time when I read Salt, Sugar, Fat, and I saw that phrase about mouthfeel, and I used to be in the restaurant business. So, I mean, I spent a lot of time making food for people to have a goal of how something should taste. But I was working with Whole Foods. I was working with ranch, local, you know, everything was brought to me fresh. It was cooked, and there it was. So it was based on real food versus the idea of just here's a bag of something that we know you're going to want to get to the bottom of, and when you get done, you're still not going to be satisfied, which is just, I think that's a spooky concept for so much of the food that we get put in front of us. Or that, you know, it's always the buy this bag, you know, and now you go to big box stores and you have 5-pound bags of that same food instead of just a small, like, little sandwich bag. And as you said, well, I could go either side on this. I don't think they're evil thinking, yes, we're going to strip them of their micronutrients. I don't think micronutrients is a word that's in their lexicon anywhere.
No, you know, the guy who's actually sitting there in the white lab coat actually creating it, I bet he knows what micronutrients are. But I don't think any of the guys, you know, in the corporate world who are actually saying, okay, did we get that bliss feel yet? I don't think they're asking the micronutrient question. But the man in the lab coat probably does know what he's done, because we've actually talked to a few of these people. And if you ask them and push them about it, they do understand chemistry. It's just not on their radar. It's not what they're hired to do.
Yeah. They're hired to make, you know, that crunch, just have the perfect amount of saltiness, greasiness, and as you said, Jason, finish on the palate so that you have this, like, amazing, oh, and then you have to have another one because there's still nothing there. Your body is still going, wait, I'm really looking. That, I think that's something that we miss, is that there is a lot of pleasure in eating. However, part of why we're eating is to nutrify ourselves.
Absolutely.
We need to say that word together. Nutrify ourselves.
Yeah, we try to tell people, and that's what the 28-day plan does. We really get people back to the basics. And people people are amazed at how quickly their cravings for these other fake foods go away. Literally within the first week, the sugar cravings are gone, the salt cravings are gone, and you're being satisfied by real food. And it doesn't matter if you're paleo or low carb or low fat or vegan. Or we believe that there's good foods in all of them. And there's junk foods in all of them. There's packaged foods in all of them that are void of any nutrition, and there are awesome foods that you can take in all of the protocols. So it doesn't matter to us what you follow. What matters is that regardless of what you follow, you're really going to look for the most nutrient-dense foods.
And I think that's such a great thing about your book. I have a follow-up question to this, which will lead us back into the further conversation once I get through grousing, is that one of the great things about your book is that you don't really care about what the direction is you're going in terms of, as you said, whether it's a paleo or a vegan or, you know, whatever you're doing. Just pay attention to what you're doing, get your micronutrients in there, and your body will begin to stabilize. And that's like a radical concept in standard, you know, healthcare.
No, you're
like, whoa, what are you talking about?
You're right. I mean, when we first, well, you know, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but the listeners may not, you know, after we really dug into how micronutrients could reverse disease, we went on a six-year, 135-country research expedition, and we literally lived with remote tribes all around the world, and our goal was to really study firsthand the dietary and lifestyle habits of these people who were you know, for all intents and purposes, void of these modern diseases that we all suffer from. They didn't know what obesity was. There's no diabetes. They didn't have any cancer. And one of the big things that we learn, we talk about in the Micronutrient Miracle, we have a story called All Roads Lead to Rome. And ultimately, what we discovered was there are many different dietary philosophies that can lead you to optimal health. I mean, the people in Papua New Guinea were eating a completely different diet than the people in Japan or the people in China or the people in India or the people in Australia. And we're talking about the, you know, the remote tribes, the people who are living still in the ancestral ways. And so for us, we kind of were left scratching our head, like, well, wait a minute, you know, I mean, if these people are eating more of a plant-based diet, but these people over here are eating a Mediterranean more, you know, fish and meat-based diet, and then you've got these other people who, you know, their lands completely flood, and they have to fish for, you know, a good majority of the year, so it's almost all fish and or meat-based diet, and yet all of them are healthy, and all of them are free of disease. There's got to be a common factor outside of the macronutrient wars or ratios that we all seem to be fighting about. And that's really where our discovery led us, was that there is one commonality to optimal health, in our opinion, and that is micronutrient sufficiency. And it only makes sense. These are essential micronutrients. And this is what our food, along with calories, is supposed to deliver to us. So when we get enough of these essential vitamins and minerals and fatty acids and amino acids, our bodies can literally do what they're supposed to do, and that keep us healthy and keep us alive and keep us thriving. And that was the commonality that we found. You know, so again, like Mira said, you can be on that road leading to Rome that's labeled Vegetarian Street, or you could be on that road leading to Rome, you know, that's labeled Paleo Street. But if you want to get into Rome, which in our story is optimal health, then you need to have a prerequisite, and that is micronutrient deficiency, no matter what dietary philosophy you follow. I mean, sufficiency, no matter what dietary philosophy you follow.
Which leads me to a question of, why are we so potassium deficient? And this will lead us further into the conversation, but I mean, I heard you talk about that, and I've always kind of followed that in my own research. What is up with potassium? Why are we so deficient? Were we always deficient? I mean, were your grandparents deficient in potassium, or is this due to our farming practices?
Well, I don't think that we were always deficient. In fact, I think many of our ancestors were, you know, the foods, again, that our ancestors ate and the way that they ate them, which was fresh in general, they definitely supplied us with a lot more of the micronutrients. Potassium is the second most deficient micronutrient, at least according to the USDA, vitamin D being the most deficient at 96%. But, you know, we're almost 93% of us are deficient in potassium. I think it's a couple of things. You know, they found when they looked at the DASH diet, when they looked at hypertension in general, that one of the three major micronutrients that play a role in creating hypertension is calcium, magnesium, and potassium. Potassium is just one of those micronutrients, again, that's found mostly in plant-based, although a little bit in animals. One of the big reasons why I think we're so deficient in it, according to the USDA, is because they've really raised the level of the minimum level of potassium. It's 4,700 milligrams a day. And if you really look at one of the things that these people who created the DASH diet, their main objective was to try to put together a diet that would allow you to be sufficient in potassium each and every day from food. And you really have to focus on it. I mean, you really have to be eating those potato skins and those bananas and those specific foods that are higher in potassium in order to achieve this. And when we looked at their diet, they only barely scraped in at the 4,700 milligram mark by literally focusing on those three micronutrients. So the average consumer out there, the average person out there who isn't focusing in on potassium specifically, kind of eating a randomized standard American diet, you can better believe that they almost have no chance at being sufficient. And that's just one of the micronutrients. You know, when you start looking at the vitamin D and then you add calcium and then magnesium and vitamin K2 on top of that, this becomes a very scary picture. Because we see that, wow, it's not just potassium, even though almost all of us are deficient in that. It's all these other things. And then the government takes it one step further. And for whatever reason, and, you know, no one knows potentially the real truth behind it, but the government has made it basically a law that you can't put more than 99 milligrams of potassium into a pill or tablet or capsule. So think about that. 99 milligrams is all you can take at any one given time in a pill, capsule, or tablet form, and yet 4,700 milligrams is what the minimum daily recommended intake is. So, you know, you can imagine that you're not going to become sufficient very quickly, even with a supplement.
Wow. So that's an FDA? That's not an FDA rule. Who is it that says they can't put more than 99 milligrams?
Yeah, we know because we are supplement manufacturers, you can't put anything more than that in there. And then on top of that, to make matters worse, we're putting more and more salt, like we were talking about before, into the foods, which throws off our balance as well. And then the salt that we're using no longer has potassium in it. Salt, in its purest form, in its unrefined form and not white form, it would be pink or gray or even blue tinges. The unrefined salt has tons of minerals in it. And so now what they've done is they've stripped it out of your salt, too, so you can't even get it there. So you're loading yourself with the sodium, and you're not getting any of the minerals that were meant to make it well-balanced. The funny thing is unrefined salt actually helps people who have issues with high blood pressure or hypertension, whereas table salt is, like, horrible for you. But it's once you switch to a real natural salt, it's amazing. Food does what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to just, it normalizes your blood pressure.
Well, and also back to, you know, pleasure to the palate. Once you've used an actual real salt, there is actually a product out of Utah that's a mine salt called Real Salt, which is, I think, a great value.
Oh, first of all, thank you for saying this. Our favorite salt, and I'll go out and say that, that Redmond's is the company.
Yes,
Redmond's Real Salt, and it is delicious. You are ruined for life. You can't. I carry it in my purse when we go out and eat because I can't
use. Oh, absolutely.
Use.
Yeah, I always have a little pack of, you know, the stuff in my pocket. And it's, yeah. Now, once you start using real salt on your food, I mean, if you just steam vegetables, a mix of vegetables, and you sprinkle them with Redmond salt and some grass-fed butter, it's like heaven. I mean, it's amazing how much flavor real salt, and I mean real salt by the brand, but also real salt in general, will bring out in a food versus that weird stuff in the little box with the girl with the umbrella is spooky. Again, in my opinion, I don't want to offend any manufacturers, slightly. But I mean, yeah, once you use real salt, you'll never go back, or at least I can't imagine how.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It really does change your taste buds. We can't use it either. And you know something else that's hiding in that salt container with the little girl with the dog pulling down her little underwear there or whatever it is, rain.
What is that?
It's sugars in there. They actually put dextrose or sugar in the salt. And so it's, you know, again, salt and sugar, you read the, you know, though those are the two major, you know, craving triggers And so not only did they strip all those essential minerals away from the salt that the salt naturally has that balances it, then they add sugar in there too. But, you know, let's talk a little bit, because you mentioned potassium, I just want to give a list to the listeners of potassium-rich foods. So if they are trying to become sufficient, they can at least, you know, take this away with them. Baked potato skin is very high. Prunes, raisins, bananas, acorn squash, and lima beans, green leafy vegetables, mushrooms. Coconut water is a great one. Coconut water is very high. Meat, pumpkin, cauliflower, and dairy products also contain potassium. So those are the foods you really want to concentrate on if you feel you may be deficient.
And I love that. That's another favorite is, potato skin. Take a potato skin, scrape out the, make some kind of great, combination of root vegetables mash, but save the potato skins and bake them just slightly. And then again, back to, grass-fed butter and a good sprinkling of, or actually in my case, more than a good sprinkling, a heavy sprinkling of real salt. And it's like heaven. What an amazing,
you can make
simple food.
You can crunch them up really good, the potato skins, and make them into, like, put the taco meat in the middle so you don't have any of the grains for the regular taco. Those fried things, they're really good.
You're making my eyes roll up in the back of my head. I will be making that soon. That sounds
there
like
you go.
And so now let's get into the, how do we bring those micronutrients back into our lives? You use the term rich food. And when you say rich food, what do you mean? What are you meaning by rich food?
So we've got three steps in our 28-day protocol, and it's the same for everyone. So the first step is eat more rich foods. And what we mean by that is things that are rich or high or dense with micronutrients. They're packed with more bang in every micronutrient-rich bite. So you get that amazing, more intense, when you don't have to eat as many calories, but you're getting more of the vitamins and minerals. And it also is void of any of the dangerous ingredients, the things that rob you of micronutrients. So you want to find these things that don't have any sugar, don't have any wheat. We take out soy, take out MSG, those things that rob you of micronutrients. And we really help you in every single aisle find the foods that are the most rich. And we have in this book a good, better, best system for every single area. So there's a good, better, best in the, say, the meat department. Because we know that not everything is available in everyone's neighborhood. It's just not. So we want this to be sustainable and realistic for everyone in every, economic situation. And we want to make sure that we can help you locate how you can choose it that fits into your budget, fits into your dietary philosophy, and fits into where you happen to live and what's available.
Well, and I will observe also that I'm really impressed at how even what I would call regular grocery stores, which mean places like Safeway or Albertsons or Lucky's or, pick the chain of your choice, seeing more in the meat department, I am seeing not lots of choices, but you are seeing a smattering more of grass-fed beef and, some organic butters, back to your GPS original from the naked calories, no rich food, poor food. The GPS of we're still shopping the perimeter of the store. I think is that just my thinking that's where the rich foods really are, is kind of we're still wanting to shop the perimeter in a certain way.
Yeah, I think that first of all, a lot has changed, since we came out with rich food, poor food. I think, we're at that really amazing time, certainly here in America, where there's enough people now, we're kind of approaching or have already approached that tipping point where people are realizing that, hey, we want to see, like you said, we want to see some of that grass-fed beef in our normal grocery stores or our Costco's or our Sam's. I mean, we go to Costco, and I'll tell you, 2-3 years ago when we first wrote Rich Food, Poor Food, there was literally almost nothing there that would have the organic seal, certainly no non-GMO project verified. I mean, it was very small, if any. Today, we almost every aisle, and you talk about the perimeter. Yeah, of course, the perimeter is always where kind of our non-box bagged and bottled foods have always kind of been distributed. But now when we go down the aisles too, you're starting to see, yes, it's still going to be a bag of chips, but it's an organic blue corn chip that's been fried in, coconut oil or palm oil rather than canola or corn. And it's been non-GMO project verified, and it's organic. And, that was not there 3 years ago. They were not. The crackers, and there's, chocolate bars now made out of organic chocolate and organic sugars. You know, so I think we've seen a complete change. Now, what we have to do now is we have to maintain that. We have to, as consumers, we have to buy those products. We have to support those companies. And we have to make sure that we turn this into a lifestyle. Otherwise, it's just going to turn into a fad, and those are going to start to disappear off the shelves, and we're going to be right back where we started from.
Talk a bit, if you will, about even in the golden mecca of Whole Foods, which I do have, you know, opinions about Whole Foods, there are still empty calories. There are still non-rich foods, because now there's an industry of people who make, you know, new improved organic fill-in-the-blank potato chips, or, you know, and I'm not opposed to potato chips, a few great little potato chips. However, you know, bags of these foods, which are just replacements for the old Kellogg's days. So it still seems like, again, in a place like Whole Foods, which is considered the, you know, insert sound effect mecca of, you know, magic food, you still want to be doing that GPS. Don't you want to still be shopping around the perimeter looking for good, high-density, quality foods?
Absolutely. We do know, however, that, you know, people's families, you know, they have to send their kids to school and their kids want a snack. And you know, we have to be realistic at the same time. What we're saying, though, is that there's just as much junk in organic foods and as there is in the other ones. And there's just as much junk in a vegan food. There's just as much junk in a low-carb food. What they've done is they've just recreated it to fit that what they think the person is looking for. So, for example, cream. We like dairy products. Cream can be a fantastic source of micronutrients. But even organic cream, and believe me, we're fighting this to no end because we like heavy cream in your coffee. It helps to support the calcium loss caused by the caffeine. But we want to add cream. But the problem is they then put carrageenan in. And they put carrageenan in their yogurts and stuff. And we don't want these extra, and that, they say, is for mouthfeel again. So they keep adding other ingredients. So you just have to be just as cautious, like you said, when reading the packaging. Because, yeah, you can have chips that are made with organic something and they're in an organic canola oil. Well, I don't want you having canola oil no matter what. I don't care if it's organic. It's organic means it's not GMO, but it's still a seed oil. It's still not the kind of oil that's healthy for your body. So, yeah, the consumer still has a lot of education that has to come first, and that's what we try to do by giving you these lists and telling you what brands we like and then supplying you with coupons for the products that we like.
Right. I mean, we actually did a PBS special a while back where they let us into the Whole Foods. It was filmed through PBS in Whole Foods. And we went down the aisles and we pointed out still where all the problems lie. And you're right. You know, people walk in kind of eyes glazed over thinking, okay, I finally made it. Basically, anything I buy in here is good for me. And that is not the case. You really do need to, you know, to take the time and educate yourself on what healthy really means. And that's what we tried to do with the GPS in Rich Food, Poor Food. We tried to, you know, which is what we keep referring to, but it's our grocery purchasing system. So you go through aisle by aisle, and we have this in the Micronutrient Miracle as well. We actually have kind of a small condensed version of Rich Food, Poor Food in here so that you can start your education while you're doing the 28-day Micronutrient Miracle Plan, because you need all that information. You know, when we tell you to go out and get whatever it is for whatever meal you've decided to have in our recipe section, we want you to follow our Rich Food, Poor Food philosophy when you're shopping, because the objective is you're going to get all these micronutrients in, and these micronutrients are going to help you to feel so much better. But I think you make an excellent point. I think a lot of people think that all they had to do is just, you know, go to Whole Foods and there it is. But no, you still want to be shopping around the perimeter. You still want to be eating the natural whole foods, and you still want to be utilizing our GPS system to help you to identify the foods that are truly healthy and micronutrient rich.
I can't help myself but say that there are many times when I have gone into a Whole Foods and I see people who I know, they, because they're shopping at Whole Foods and they have a giant cart full of food, they think they're doing the right thing because, as you just said, they're shopping at Whole Foods and they think, well, we're here. We've come to Mecca. Everything here is perfect. And you can see their cart is filled. I mean, they do have real produce and perhaps real meat. However, their other rest of their cart is still filled with boxes of things that are just replicants of foods from a regular grocery store in a shiny new box saying, you know, perhaps they do say non-GMO, but, you know, again, you have to look at the label. It is, this is part of the thing, is there needs to be, in my thought, and I'm certain you have a chapter about this, where you begin to have to actually look at labels. I know it's annoying, but you have to look at the labels and kind of go, what's really in here? And once you know that, then you can go back and buy that again, because there's just so much fake, you know, mock health food.
Yeah. One thing we did in this is we actually went down different aisles than we'd ever gone before. So in the Micronutrient Miracle, we went beyond Rich Food for Food. We said, we're going to go into your houses now, too. We're going to give you all the bad news at once. You know your household things are toxic, and do you know what that's doing to your micronutrient levels? And we actually give them the 10 things that we want them to change in their household right now, 10 toxins that are hiding in their different products. So we go through your like perfumes, your toothpaste, deodorant. We go through their pots and pans. We tell them what kind of things they're packaging, their plastics, and all of this. And we go through and tell them how to find healthier versions of those things as well. Because you can make the healthiest, you know, the best grass-fed, you know, steak, and you can put, you know, great organic seasonings on it, and then you put it in your Tupperware, and you coat it in BPA, and it's sitting in your plastic, and you just ruined your own stuff, honey. You know, it's one of those things that we just want you to, you know, pay attention. You can go to a grass-fed butcher, and if he wraps it in that plastic wrap that they normally wrap your meat in, no. Need to ask them to put it in paper. Just think about that. The paper is fine. The plastic is not fine. So don't let them wrap. And that's a really easy thing to do. Just tell the butcher to only use the paper. And that's just another great tip. So we go through everything in this book, from how you exercise to how you buy your household things to just picking out the right foods. And we look at every single one of those things from the micronutrient standpoint.
I'm so happy to hear that you talk about the plastic wrap, because I frequent farmers markets a lot, because I like to go to farmers markets, because 90% of the time you're meeting the person who grew the food. I like that. I like that relationship. And I too am a fan of dairy products. And fortunately, I live in an area where I can get whole, you know, have whole cream floating in my coffee as we speak. So I'm totally on board. I'm totally on board. And I see these people who, these cheeseheads, as I call them, these amazing artisanal high-end cheesemakers making really beautiful cheeses, even perhaps, you know, some local raw organic goat cheese or something like that. And then they, you know, they slipe off a big slab, and the first thing they do is get out the giant roll of petroleum product and wrap your, you know, $30 a pound cheese. And I'm always getting in trouble with them, because I'm like, can't you wrap it in paper? Don't you know? I mean, look at what you've done. And even in their world of knowing as much as they know and knowing as passionate as they are, they still don't know that next thing of like, do you know what that weird, creepy plastic stuff is doing to that amazing product you just made?
Yeah.
There are still gaps.
There are still gaps. And I think that, you know, I think once you bring it to their attention, you know, you almost see the light go on in their eyes. They're kind of like, obviously, I knew that, you know. And then that's why we did with this book. You know, our publishers at first said, well, let's just kind of stick to the food. And we said, well, you know, we've done food. We've done Rich Food, Poor Food. We did Naked Calories. You know, our readers now, we need to take them to that next level. We need to, you know, now, you know, kind of sneak in there with them in their kitchen and really, you know, call them on the fact that you're still cooking that food in that Teflon-coated nonstick pan, you know, or you're using that plastic spatula, or like you said, you're wrapping it with that petroleum-based plastic wrap. And they're ready for it now, because now it's kind of like, okay, we've got our foods down. We understand the, you know, the importance of high quality, you know, micronutrient-rich foods and organic and non-GMO and all that. But now we want to start getting rid of the other things in our houses. And it's even in their bathrooms. I mean, again, people who are well-intentioned spend all this money and go out and they preach and talk about how they're eating high-quality foods are still slathering on the shampoos and the soaps and the toothpaste and the deodorants, all with these fragrances and these, you know, artificial everything. And so, you know, again, we're not asking people to be perfect, because there's probably a lot of people now starting to say, wait a minute, this micronutrient thing sounds pretty difficult. This is really going into every avenue of our lives. But our goal is just to, you know, make you aware of it. And then we, you know, again, like Mira said before, the theme that runs through our book is realistic and sustainable. Make a change that's realistic and sustainable for you, and stick with it. I'd rather you say, well, you know what, I can get rid of those old pots, you know, that have the Teflon coating on it, and I can go out and buy myself a ceramic pot because I need to get rid of that anyway, and that's a change that I can make. You don't have to do everything at once, but you'd be amazed at how many different things in your life deplete you of these essential micronutrients. And we really want to get that word micronutrient in your vocabulary and start to understand what it means to be going just one step at a time closer to that micronutrient sufficient state. And I think people are going to be very surprised at how much better they feel and continue to feel as they move towards that ultimate, you know, destination. And it is more than just buying better foods. It's about surrounding yourself and creating this environment that is really set up to maintain that micronutrient sufficiency.
Yes. I have a statement and then a follow-up question to this. I feel, back to our real salt conversation, I feel kind of like real salt is what I would call a gateway drug to getting people to understand the idea of micronutrients, because I've turned a lot of people onto real salt. I use a lot of other salts because they have different flavors, you know, flaked sea salts and that kind of thing, but they're all whole food salts. They're not ever milled or anything creepy done to them. And once you introduce people to something as simple as real salt, and they taste it on their food and they go, oh my God, I actually taste a difference. And I think it's a great gateway to have people kind of get the aha moment of, wow, not only can I be eating something that's better for me, because salt has such a bad rap. Well, the little girl with, you know, the umbrella salt, again, in my opinion, is not good. It's not good. I'm sorry. It's just not good. Even though it's a cute logo, it's not good. But a whole salt is an actual food. I mean, it's an amazing thing once you start that simple change. As you said, Jason, that you don't need to do everything at once. You don't need to go into your fridge and throw it. Well, maybe you do need to throw everything out. But, you know, get a pan. Start cooking in a stainless steel pan or revert back to, you know, the cast iron. Or, you know, just pick a style that you want to use. And the first time you start using it, it might be a little difficult. But once you get used to using it, you'll never go back to anti-stick, creepy, weird, Teflon, off-gassing, who knows what it's really doing to our nerve endings stuff.
Absolutely. They can't take education away from someone. So that's the great thing. You give someone education, they make a small change, they know better, and they can't go back. They now know that the real salt is better than the other salt, or they now know not to use the Teflon pan. And this is great because you can build on what you're learning, and there's always something else. There's always something new that you can get from this book. And that's what we want, like you said. It's not changing everything all at once. What we're saying is do what you can over these next 28 days, and you will feel better, period. You're just going to feel better. And then, you know, if you want to go back to feeling bad, that's your choice. But we know that once you feel better, you're probably going to want to stay feeling better, and you're probably going to want to do better and make this a lifestyle.
I love the way you say it, the way you just casually toss this phrase, you're just going to feel better.
You will!
I know, that's what's so funny and so exciting about it is, it is true that if you do this for 28 days, at the end of this 28 days, you're going to feel different. I'm a little more alert. I have a little more energy. Wow, I lost some weight. It's like a miracle.
People are like, how could you say it's a miracle? I'm like, my book is not the miracle. The miracle is the power of what these micronutrients can do in your body and how powerful they are at creating health. That's the miracle. All I'm doing is telling you to pay attention to it so you can have the miracle yourself.
Yeah, it's not like you invented something. It's not like you invented a new food in a box. Look, here's a new food in the box. It is the ultimate cure. It's like actually think about what you're eating, learn about what a rich food is, understand the idea of micronutrients, eat a whole food. What do you think? Eat a whole food. Wow. Put some real salt on it. Oh, my. It's an amazing concept.
Yeah, you know, it sounds, and it really is that simplistic. So that I love that, because now the listeners think, well, maybe it's not so difficult. And here's the thing. I mean, if you start to look at, and again, like you said, don't take our word for it. This is our observation. It's our observation from traveling around the world, really living with these people who don't have disease. you know, it's not just some kind of weird thing. I mean, this isn't just in some country a long, far, far away that nobody's heard of. This is in, there's different people living in different groups all over the world eating natural whole foods. Also, go to Google, you know, Google any disease you want. And look at real medical and nutritional journals, you know, peer-reviewed research, and find out what you will about these health conditions. You're going to find that there is micronutrient deficiency at the root of every single one of them, every one of them. And we lay them out in the book. I mean, from things like anxiety or infertility or Alzheimer's disease or high blood pressure or cancer or diabetes or osteoporosis or you name it. That's what's so exciting about it, is that we now know what is at the root of these health conditions. It may not be the whole story for all of the health conditions and diseases out there, but it's a large majority of the story for many of them. And so if it's your low energy or you haven't been, if you're one of these people that literally cannot get to sleep or sleeps 2 or 3 hours a night, that's not normal. It's not normal to feel so tired after work that you have to sit down on your couch for hours to rest. It's not normal to feel pain so bad in your joints. Like Mira, you know, one of the big things she, you know, I'll let her tell her own story, but, you know, her pain was so bad that, you know, that she actually had to go to her doctor to find out what was wrong with her. And then lo and behold, it was, again, a micronutrient deficiency. So, yeah, I mean, we called it the micronutrient miracle because we really believe it. You can probably hear from our voices that we're passionate about it because it is something that's so simplistic. It's going back to eating the way our ancestors did. But you know what's hard? We live in the 21st century. And what's kind of sad is that we need a guidebook like the Micronutrient Miracle to show us how to do that in the 21st century. And that's really what we bring to the table, is something, again, that's realistic and sustainable. It's going to show you how to find those foods in the modern grocery store. And it's going to show you how to follow a plan like this so you can see the results quickly and efficiently in your own life.
I can't believe that we're 10 minutes from the end. I can't believe it. I knew this was going to happen, that suddenly we'd put the pedal down and we'd be going hard and fast. I want to ask you if you can give me a couple of your, let's say, top three chronic depleters, you know, things that people would not be thinking about at all, besides the image. You gave me this image now, Mara, of, you know, you have these friends who are like, they go out and get grass-fed beef and organic something or other, and then they throw it in the Tupperware, and not only do they toss it in the Tupperware, then they say, oh, let me just throw it in the microwave and heat it for you. And I'm like, my hair goes straight, I turn white, I have to like scream out of the room that you're going to heat that amazing thing that you cooked in the microwave in that creepy plastic. Really? Do you hear yourself? But anyway, so depleters, please, talk to us, you know, two or three top depleters.
Stress. I mean, stress, everyone has it in their life, unfortunately, to different levels. But the thing is, study after study shows that people who are sufficient in their micronutrients do not feel stress the same way as people who are deficient. So they've done studies. The B vitamins are extremely susceptible, and they are the first ones gone, followed by vitamin C and omega-3. In studies, when people are given omega-3 and vitamin C supplements, and then the scientists try to stress them out, they can't. They cannot get that fight or flight out of a person. So imagine what your life would be like if you're stuck in traffic and normally you'd be freaked out, but now you can just sit there and think about positive things because you're not going to get stressed the same way you used to. It's a really powerful thing because stress then depletes you of more micronutrients and you just go down the drain faster. That leads to other things. So stress is one of those, absolutely, for sure.
There's so many. I think, one that I think people don't realize, and we were in this, you know, again, there's all kinds of different fads that kind of sweep through America. And I think right now the green drink smoothie fad is going on pretty strongly here in America. And a lot of people, you know, like, I want to put spinach in, you know, raw spinach in my smoothie. I'm going to blend it up along with a bunch of other who knows what other things, and I'm going to drink that. It's got to be good for me. Well, yes, raw spinach has a lot of micronutrients, but what people don't realize is it also has a micronutrient depleter in it called oxalic acid. And that oxalic acid literally binds to or chelates to the calcium and the magnesium and the iron that is going to be in that spinach. So by the time it chelates or binds to that, it doesn't allow you to absorb it. it actually, and it will bind to the magnesium and the calcium and the iron that's in all those other good stuff that you put in there too. So you just have to be aware that there are certain foods that have these, what we call anti-nutrients, inherently in them, that our ancestors and these other remote groups knew how to prepare the foods. They would ferment the foods. They would take time. They would sprout the foods. We, in our, again, 21st century rushed lives, we just grab and go. We don't have time to sprout. We don't have time to ferment. We don't have time to prepare properly. We have time to cook quickly in the microwave and go. And we think that, you know what? Not a lot of negative is going to happen about it. This is just progress, and look how great this is. I can put dinner together in 5 minutes. Well, that's not necessarily the case. So, you know, if you're doing one of these green drinks, we'll give you a quick tip. Cook the spinach first, put it in the refrigerator, and then put the cooked spinach cold, obviously, the next morning in your green drink, and you'll cut down a lot on that oxalic acid.
And is that still true? Also true of kale? Is that in the same family? If it strips out the oxalic acid, or does it do something else when it's not cooked?
Kale has much less oxalic acid. Problem with kale that they're now finding, and especially in California, is it's very high in other dangerous metals. And I can't think of what it is off the top of my head, but there's a whole bunch of new studies coming out that people are getting heavy metal poisoning and not realizing it's coming from the kale crops. That's something to watch out. I just know because it was a conversation with a whole bunch of health professionals I was having the other day. Thallium, I believe. But they're finding that it's coming from the kale in California.
Okay. As Jason's talking about spinach, I'm thinking about every other person I see is walking around drinking some kind of, you know, green, you know, kale shake.
You're going to get a lot out of it.
Everything is kale, just like raw kale. And I'm thinking, really? Raw kale? Ew, A, and B, you know, cook it, and then it's delicious, and it reduces some of, but I didn't know about the toxicity issue.
Yeah, if you think about most fruits and vegetables, most of the vegetables that have a lot of anti-nutrients, they're difficult to eat raw. There's a reason. You're not supposed to. Like broccoli is really hard to eat raw. It takes a lot of chewing. It's very dense. It doesn't want you to eat it. It kind of fights back in your mouth. And the spinach has that little acidy flavor in your mouth. These things are supposed to be cooked. And that's why our ancestors would have known that.
I can't imagine a native culture, well, not that they cook that much, but I mean, let's say Oaxacans. I'll pick on the Oaxacans because I know quite a few of them. You know, here's a culture, especially in the old days, that didn't have much money. Or actually, let me talk about migrant workers because I grew up with migrant workers in the front yard. And even they, in the middle of their workday, would stop and they would have tortillas and they would cook their food. You know, they'd pick stuff right from the field they were working in, but they'd still cook it, and then they'd roll it up in a tortilla and, you know, make a burrito or a taco. But, I mean, even people with no, air quotes, education would still have the idea of, like, they would never think of eating that raw. Their mothers would slap them with a wooden spoon. It's like, what are you thinking? And we've lost that. We have this, like, no, it's raw, it's good. Really? I don't know.
They had an innate education, an ancestral education that we're not having anymore. They had a different sort of, in quotes, education than we did.
Yeah. Yikes. Oh, somebody in chat is saying that Dr. Teresa Dale just had a webinar about kale and thallium contamination.
Yeah, it is a thallium. I was right. Okay. Yeah, it's having quite a profound effect on a lot of people because there's so much kale being eaten.
Oh, it's everywhere. Kale, everybody's gone kale crazy. The miracle food. Even people I would never expect to be talking about kale, never knew what it was before, suddenly talking, have you had kale today? And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well, can I share something with your listeners before I know we're going to be short on time. I want to make sure that we get them good food to replace these bad foods.
Please.
We have an amazing offer going on that we went to some great companies that we could really get behind, some of our favorite companies. And we said, what are you going to do to make people's lives healthier? And they came back in a really big way. And this is what we got deal going on. If somebody goes to mymiraclegifts.com right now, they'll learn all about this deal. And what it is if when you buy a book, which is currently, I think, like $15 on Amazon, when you buy the book or even the Kindle at $12, and the book is The Micronutrient Miracle, of course. You buy a copy of it, and you send us your receipt. And when you send us the receipt, we are going to send you, on September 1st, $200 in same as cash gift certificates to use at these online food places. So you get like $50 to Vital Choice Seafood. You get $50 to U.S. Wellness Meats. You get $50 to Wild Things Seafood and Steaks. You get $25 at Casadrina's Extra Virgin Olive Oil and $20 over at Thrive Market and 2 months membership. You get all of this for just buying the book. So we're going to make sure that you can afford to buy the healthiest foods, and we're going to give it to you free for simply buying the book.
So glad you pushed that in, because I saw that and I thought, really? What's the hook here? And then I realized there is no hook. You're actually, these are real coupons. You're getting real product. You're not signing up for an MLM or anything. This is a this is an amazing offer.
Yeah, you know. Of course, we've talked today about our book, Rich Food, Poor Food, and so we've built these relationships now for years with these companies, and these are the most trusted online companies for the grass-fed, wild-caught, organic foods out there. I mean, these are the top-tier online stores. And they said, we literally just went to them and we said, listen, we've got a group of people who are looking to create micronutrients deficiency in their life. They said, well, we can't offer this to everybody, but we can offer it to the people who actually buy the book. So we know that they're interested. And they literally just went to their accountants and they said, listen, what is our maximum dollar value for a customer acquisition? I mean, what can we afford to put out there to get somebody to try our foods? Because we know that if they try the food and they really see the difference between what they're buying at the local grocery store and what we're going to be able to deliver for them, that there's a high likelihood that these people are going to come back. And even if they don't come back, they might tell somebody else about it. So this is for us, it's an advertising. This is for us, we're going to spend the money with you guys rather than putting an ad out somewhere and trying to bring in cold traffic. And this is what they came back with. At first, we started off like just trying to get $20. We just wanted to do a match. We just wanted to, like, okay, will somebody give us $20 so we can say, buy the book and you get $20, it's kind of free. And what we were floored, literally. I remember Mira was having the conversation with Randy over at Vital Choice and John over at U.S. Wellness Meats, who are the owners. And she was on the phone with them talking to them about this. And they were like, you know what? We'll do $50. A $50 same as cash gift certificate, each one. And so you don't have to choose. You get the 50 and another 50 and another 50 and a 25 and a 30 from Thrive Market just simply for buying a copy of the book. So if anybody's interested, listen, you just go to My Miracle Gifts with an S, mymiraclegifts.com. You'll see Mira and I there explaining the whole deal. There's no tricks. There's no gimmicks to it. The only thing is you got to do it by August 31st because the deal ends then.
But, and your book, I have to almost close the show with and your book is still not out.
And the book is still not out. That's true. But you can send an order confirmation from Amazon. That's what thousands of people have done already. So
No. I was just joking about the fact that, you know, you have these amazing people behind you that are supplying great food. I mean, if all you do is you buy the book, you get all the coupons for free, and you take that'll take you weeks to get through most of that food. And by the end of that time, you're going to turn around and go, whoa, they might have something here, at least in my feeling, because you're eating real food. You're using real salt. You're putting cream in your coffee. Yay! I love talking to you guys. It's always a fun.
Oh, we love being here. We'll come back anytime, Richard.
We've gone an hour. I'm sorry, everybody. For people just listening to the show, I want to let you know that everything that Mira and Jason talked about are at the show notes at Blog Talk Radio. Search for Sherry Edwards if you're just listening. And the links there to the My Miracle Gifts is there. I link to their bios and also to their blog, which I find to be really, I really like the blog. It has a lot of great information, everything from bone broth, the ever so spooky bone broth, until you understand it's just broth. It always sounds scary, though. Ooh, bone broth, ooh. But it's really soft.
In the cauldron.
In the cauldron, it's great, but it's so delicious. And, this is really just about eating real food. I mean, it's, as I say, you haven't invented a food in a box. You don't have a miracle drug. You don't. It's like go out, shop the perimeter, eat real food, feel better, look, rinse and repeat. It's an amazing.
Exactly.
I love that. Well, everybody, have a great rest of the weekend, and thank you guys so much. I'm so happy this is doing so well. I think it's such important information, and I think you're just right there at the tipping point. It's just an amazing time for people to hear this and get that it's the micronutrients. You know, get those micronutrients in there. Get those rich foods in there. And, oh, my God, you might notice a difference. You know, it's not a pill.
You're helping us spread the message. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, Richard.
Bye.